We looked at this first section of Colossians 1 last week and basically answered the question of why he prays for the church in Colossae, the Colossian church. But now what does he pray for? That is, what should we want from God? Basically, in life, what really matters? I heard a story this week of a man who walks into a voodoo store. And there's a whole rack of potions to do various things. And to give you, one whole column of potions was for success. Another was for sexual prowess. Another was for intelligence. There was one more whole column, but it was nearly empty. It was almost nothing in it. Obviously, it was the one that was most used, and it was labeled money. Or if you found a lamp on a beach, you know, one of those magic lamps, and you rub on the side of it and a genie pops out and says, I'll give you three wishes. What's your first wish? $1 million? Sometimes I think that. We could ask that of God, or we could request destruction of our enemies, or maybe even that we would never fail ever in life. Or we could request what Paul prays for the Colossian church, and what therefore then he also prays for us. Basically, what really matters. There's a lot of stuff on TV here lately about politics, and that is not one of those things that I include in what really matters. I get too wrapped up in it sometimes, but what really matters, it is a valid question to ask. What does God really want from us in our lives, and what he would like for us to show others while we're on this planet? This prayer has it. I see six essentials in this prayer that deal with that question of what really matters, the Colossian prayer. Now, I'm going to give you a Budak at the end of this, my word for a memory device, and it's kind of silly or stupid, but it might help you remember these, and they're worth remembering. I've used it actually several times this week in praying through these six items from this prayer, so it can really be useful, and that's why I want to give it to you. But what really matters? Let's begin it with a prayer. Father, we look at a passage of Scripture, and we can see in life what really matters, what Paul prays for this church, and what we can pray for one another, what we can pray for ourselves, what you desire for us in our lives. And I pray, Father, that you'll open us up to understand it. Change our lives with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are six here. What really matters? Basically, what he is praying for in this prayer. Number one, knowing God's will. Verse 9, Colossians 1. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is a powerful and beautiful concept. Proverbs is the main Old Testament book for wisdom. Book of James is basically the New Testament book for wisdom. The word for wisdom in the Old Testament is often translated simply skill. When God was telling Moses, men to build the tabernacle for him, to reflect God's character in that thing, that he was to choose men who were skilled. But the word really is the word for wise. Wisdom is defined really with two components. There's a vertical component and a horizontal component. The vertical component is you got to know God. It is absolutely essential. I know some people who are identified as wise, but if they don't know God to begin with, it isn't wisdom what they've got. It is more than just a knowledge of God. The second is turning then that religious, that vertical relationship with our God and living it out, making it horizontal, building something or doing something to reflect and work out that knowledge of God. It has both those components. That is, if you say you know God, show me. Make it evident, visible. It is translating a knowledge of God into behavior. Basically, show me. It's basically what the word glory means. It means to make God visible, to glorify Him, make Him visible, the invisible God visible upon this earth. Our passage, filled with the knowledge of His will. I've shared with you before this word, knowledge. I have it up here. The typical word, the Greek word for knowledge, is the word gnosis. That's where you can blame the Greeks for giving us our word kno and knowledge. And we have that K on that word. It comes from the Greeks putting that gamma or that G in the beginning of the word. Gnosis is the typical word for knowledge. But our word here, that we might have knowledge of God's will, is a word epigenosis. Epi is a word that comes into our language, we simply get upon. So we're talking about a heaped upon knowledge, but it's not just simply more knowledge, it is a knowledge that is worked out in our lives. One theologian, F.B. Meyer, writes this. He says, "The knowledge which grasps and penetrates into the object. It is very similar to the notion of wisdom, where it is a knowledge of God that is worked out, a knowledge then that affects and changes our behavior, a knowledge of God that really makes a difference in how we live. You could call it a perfected knowledge." I've shared this word with you before, and I want to use it here. We find it first in Matthew chapter 5, where the author says, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, he's not telling us to be utterly flawless like God, because we can't. But he is telling us, I want you to be consistent in your life. I want you to be consistent in making visible who God is. We find it also in the book of James, in James chapter 2. I told you that James is the wisdom book of the New Testament. You see that faith was working with his works, talking about Abraham. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. That is, he demonstrated faith in God, and it is worked out in his life. It is a perfected faith. But my favorite, the one I think is the clearest, is from 1 John chapter 4. It says, "No one has seen God at any time." The Father is invisible. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. That is, God can be seen. The invisible God can be seen as we love one another. So it is a love that comes full circle. He loves us, we love others. Very similar to that notion of wisdom. Knowing God's will produces fruit that is visible. The invisible God can be seen. It's connected also to number two. All the rest really connect to this first one, this knowing God's will. But number two is walking balanced. I want you to look at verse 10. "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects." Now, the word balance doesn't actually appear here. It states, walk in a manner worthy. But that word worthy sometimes carries some false notions, as if we were worthy of God, and we're not. Can we perform in such a way that we are worthy of God's blessings? No. There's only one who is worthy. We see it in one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, which is Revelation chapter 5, a beautiful, extraordinary passage. I won't read the whole chapter, but we've got this one. And John is writing. He says, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' Unless those seals are broken, unless that book is opened up, the end of all things cannot come. God cannot move forward with His program. The kingdom cannot come. Nothing good can follow. And there's nobody worthy. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it." If you read on in the passage, there is one worthy, but it is only God. It is the Lamb of God who was slain. So we are not worthy. But we are commanded here, he prays for us to walk in a manner worthy. Let me help you. The word translated worthy is the Greek word axios. I shared this with you before. It comes into our language in axle or axis. It compares two things. It's an axis that goes from the top to bottom of the earth. It connects two poles. Basically, it has the idea of a balance, where on one side of the balance is all that we have from God, all that He is, and all that He has done for us. And he says, this is everything that we know about God. Now walk in balance with that knowledge. Live with who we are. God wants us to know how special we are as His children. You can see how similar this is to the notion of wisdom. Know God, live it out what you know of God. It's the same thing here. And it's similar to that notion of epigenosis, a heaped upon knowledge that works. Number three is also very similar. What he's praying for the Colossian church, what he prays for us, what we can pray for one another. The third thing, bearing fruit. Verse 10 again. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing the kind of fruit that we are. If we were an apple tree, we'd bear apples. Peach tree, peaches. We are God's tree, so we bear God's fruit. We are indwelt by His Holy Spirit. He lives within us. The classic fruit-bearing passage is Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the fruit of God bearing fruit in our lives. It is similar to Ephesians chapter 2. I shared with you last week Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I said they were the two most important verses in the Bible because it tells us how we approach God. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, not as a result of works, so that no one might boast. It is all a gift from God. But then he goes into verse 10 and he says, for we are His workmanship. The word is poiema. We get the word poem. We are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's not the good works that get us to God. It's the good works that follow from our knowledge of God and our relationship with God. We are God's poem. So he's praying here for things that really matter while we're walking upon this earth for who knows how many years each of us have. But what really matters while we're here? Knowing God's will, walking balanced, and bearing fruit. Number four. Now I'm going to have a memory device to help you remember all of these when we get to the end. They won't necessarily be in this order, but you will remember them. I will help you remember them. Even I remember them. I've been using them all week. Even I can remember them. One week later, I can't remember what sermon I preached the week before. Now, I don't want you to be like that. I want you to remember them. But this one I can remember. I've been working on it. Number four, increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 10 again. So that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We've already seen this word knowledge already in knowing God's will. He must really mean that this knowledge thing is important, but not just a head thing, but it translates into a heart thing. The evangelical church grew exponentially in the early 70s in this country. Mary Kay and I were a part of that movement, as many, maybe some of you were. Baby boomers. I say that for Alex's part because we have arguments about baby boomers periodically. It was the baby boomers that transformed God's church in this country. And it was a powerful and it was a magnificent movement. Many, many people came to know Christ. And we latched on to, for the first time, this knowledge thing. I was raised in the church, in the Episcopal church, most of my life. And I was never encouraged to know anything, to know the Bible or pick it up or really know it myself. I mean, maybe they've changed, but they weren't in my day. Or at least it wasn't in my life. I was never encouraged to know God. Then I come to know Christ, a saving knowledge of Christ, and now that's all I want to do. It took a little while. Mary Kay was always more spiritual and religious-minded than I was. She'd always tried to drag me off to church back even before we were Christians, but now even more so. And I'd tell her then that I'm saved by grace, not by works. I don't have to do anything. I don't plan on it. But then when I finally did go back and I realized, whoa, this Bible makes some sense. So now I want to know it more and more. And I couldn't get enough of it. But it tended in my early days of my Christian life to be communicated as just a head thing. The more I knew about God's Word, supposedly the more spiritual I was. Better Christian I was, the more I knew. So I soaked up everything I'd get. It seemed at the time to be communicated to me, don't worry about fellowship, don't worry about the love thing, don't worry about the body, worry about put the knowledge in your head. So I was doing that. But again, our word here, increasing in knowledge, is not just that word gnosis, which is the typical word for knowledge in Greek. It is, again, epignosis. It's not just more knowledge. It's a knowledge that so impacts you that it makes a difference in your lives. And it was working in Mary Kay and myself. The word was changing both of us. Probably me more so than Mary Kay because I had so much farther to go. You see me up here now as probably practically perfect. Well, maybe not. But I had a long ways to go, and I still got a long ways to go. But it was a painful process for me. I was losing friends. All I wanted to do now was talk about this Jesus. And they'd say they didn't want to hear about Jesus. Just pass the joint, you know? They don't want to hear this stuff. Pretty soon, I had to give up some of those circles and some of those friends because it wasn't benefiting anybody. They weren't listening to me anyway. Pretty soon, however, we were in seminary. This knowing God thing had impacted us so greatly. And it wasn't just me, it was Mary Kay. And we had gotten saved. We'd come to know Christ in the spring of 1974. And we were attending classes at Dallas Theological Seminary, not just a seminary, but Dallas Theological Seminary in the fall of 76. So we were really young Christians, and I didn't know much of anything. I didn't know how you were supposed to act as a Christian. And now I'm surrounded by all these people that had gone through, been Christians most of their lives, gone through Bible colleges, and now they're in seminary. And I didn't know any of that stuff. So it was also, well, it was good for me. It was good. It was healthy. And I'm continually still in knowing more about God. So we're talking about what really matters in life. And number five is this strengthened with power, because we encounter an enemy that is smarter than we are and more powerful than we are. Verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Power, but power for what? Attaining this steadfastness and patience. Two interesting words. And you'll need strength to accomplish them because they're not easy. The first is steadfastness. Literally, it means to remain under. It's often translated endurance. It implies difficulty and pain and struggle and yuck. And it says, stay in there, hang in there, remain under all of that. The second one is patience, translated New American Standard. A better translation might actually be the King James here. It's called long-suffering. That's what the word literally means. Basically, that long time before you get angry, a long time in enduring the difficulty before you say, nuts to this. I don't want it. I hate this and I hate everything else and I'm angry. Hang in there for a long time before you get upset with life and circumstances. Long suffering. And we need strength for that. We need God's strength to endure all of that because the enemy doesn't want us to endure. The enemy doesn't want us to be patient. I'm talking about satanic powers, and the devil is real, and his demons are real. And they don't want us to have steadfastness and patience, so we need God's strength to do it. We're talking about what really matters in life. Knowing God's will, walking in balance, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge, epignosis of God, and strengthened with power, because life isn't easy. Number 6, the last one, thanking the Father. Verse 12. Let me back up to the end of verse 11, because this word joyously fits with it. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Why? What's he done? Well, he's qualified us. He's enabled us to share in the promises that he has given us. Promises of a kingdom. Promises of light as opposed to darkness. Promises of reigning with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. Because the world has no idea of this light. The world thinks that they're enlightened, but if they don't know Christ, they don't have the light. But we do. They are in darkness that overwhelms them and deceives them and confuses them. They have no clue that we know about in Jesus Christ. We joyously give thanks to the Father for all this stuff that we have. Now, I want to give you a review of these, and then we'll rearrange them so in another order that you can remember them. Knowing God's will, walking balanced, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with God's power, and thanking God. Now, if you were a spider, just pretend, and you're kind of a creative spider, you like to put on plays and whatnot, you might perform a skit. Well, if you were that spider, where would you perform that skit? On your web. So we're talking here about a web skit. Ignore the E of web, but all the rest of these, you can remember this. I have used this week, all week. The W, walking in balance. Knowing what God has done for us and who we are in Christ, and then walking balanced with that. The second one, the B, bearing fruit. Oh, I don't have them up there. Walking balanced. The B is what? Bearing fruit. Number 3, it's going to start with what letter if we're talking about a web skit? The letter S. Strengthened with God's power. The K. Knowing God's will in our lives. The I. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And the T is what? Yeah. Thanking God for the privilege. Thanking God that He has saved us, that He has cleansed us, He has forgiven us. Next week, I want to do a sermon. I'll back out of Colossians for a time. And I want to do a sermon on what has happened to us. When you trust in Jesus Christ, when you believe that He died for you, what happens to you? What changes? What are all these things that we now have as a result? So that's where we'll go next week. But I want to walk through these again. We've got a web skit. The W is what? Walking in balance. And then we've got what letter? A B, which is what? Bearing fruit. And then we've got the word skit, S-K-I-T. The S? Strengthened with God's power. Because life is not easy. And just because we trust Jesus Christ, things don't start getting easy. In fact, very often they get harder. The K is knowing God's will, knowing the will of God in our lives. And I'm not talking about who we marry or what school we go to, but the God's Word gives us His will in walking this balanced life. What letter we need now? I from skit, and it is what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to continue in that epignosis thing. No more, and then translate it into shoe leather. And finally, thanking God for the privilege. A web skit. Now, if I was to have one of you give me these 6 points from a web skit, could you do it? Doug, can you do it? Okay, what do we got? What's the first one? Okay, that's that W and a B. All right, look away from your notes, though. Let's do it without notes. Now, the S. Power, okay. And then a K. Knowing God's will. The I. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And the T. Thanking God. Can anybody think they can do it without even glancing at their notes at all? This is one that is worth remembering. It is useful because you can use it in prayer. You can pray for others using it. You can pray for yourselves using it. And I even remember it. I can remember without looking at any notes. Walking in balance, bearing fruit, strengthened with power, knowing the will of God, increasing in the knowledge of God, and thanking God. That's without looking at any notes and not looking at the screen up here either. So it's a useful one. If I can turn it around and I can actually practice it this week, then it makes sense to know it. A web skit. I'll ask some of you later on during our lunch if you can remember it. I bet you Stanley can do it. Okay, but let's close with a prayer. Father, I thank you for this occasion. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this magnificent passage and this magnificent prayer. I pray that it might become useful to us. We can use it. We can use it in prayer. And Father, help us to focus on the things that really matter, that we get so bogged down in things that don't. And help us to focus. Help us to come back here to what you pray and you want us to pray. Lord God, if there's anyone here who has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they don't have a relationship with you. And if they don't, then they can't live out who you are. But it all starts by faith, believing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. He hung on that cross and took a penalty we deserved, a penalty of death. He took it in our place. I thank you for that knowledge and that truth. I pray, Father, that it might bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now don't go.